Space. Time. Reality. Everyone has their concepts of these, but are they actually true? What if I told you that all those terms, all those concepts, are about as fluid as water? This anthology series contains stories that flow between them like a wandering river. Between the mind, the body, and the soul. Boldly influenced by the powers that were, the powers that are, and the powers that will be. This is Dark Charm Presents.
Episode 307, Unlikely Psychic.
Come on, Ron, you didn't go to Baltimore to see a fucking psychic.
Jamie Raines boldly iterated as he was fixing his already broken down car. His friend Ron had a smile on his face as if someone had given him a new lease on...
I'm telling you, man! This chick is dead on! I am telling you!
There's no way I'm gonna spend my Saturday night downtown in some seedy joint with a...
Oh, as opposed to spending all Saturday night working on a piece of shit car only to have it break down on you again in a matter of days? You spent more on repair parts and fluids and all sorts of dumb shit so you can just go to work. And we will not be going downtown. We will be going to East Baltimore.
That's not much better.
You need a break, dude. I'll take you in my car.
It's not a matter of needing a break, Ron. It's a matter of most of these psychics are just charlatans and schemers. They don't have any real talent.
Ron dove into his pocket and pulled out a scratch-off card.
After I went, she told me that my financial situation was going to be changing, so I bought this lottery scratch-off. Why not, right?
Jamie wiped his hands with a towel nearby.
So you think you're going to win?
Yes. Yes, I do. This is proof that she is not fake. If I scratch this and get a winner, you have to come back with me.
Jamie sighed as his friend pulled a nickel from his pocket.
Go right ahead.
Oh. Oh my God.
What, you owe them money?
Jamie's eyes widened as Ron held up the card. It was a winner. Ron was $300,000 richer, all by scratching off the card.
You gotta be kidding me. Okay, let's do it.
There's just one thing, though.
What?
She says you have to bring a plant with you.
A plant?
I don't know why, that's just what she says.
That evening, amidst the pouring rain, Ron and Jamie pulled Ron's Toyota Corolla into a parallel parking spot on Bel Air Road in East Baltimore.
This the place? It looks like a dump.
Looks are completely deceiving, Jamie. Where's your plant?
Jamie pulled a small, succulent plant from the back of the car.
Right here. I don't see why I need this little thing.
Do you ask the chef what's in the scrapple? Then forget about it. Alright? Let's go.
Jamie and Ron quickly got out of the car and swiftly walked through the rain-covered streets to the door of the run-down-looking curio shop. The sign on the front stated in decaying white font, Madame Valeska's Psychic Readings and Curio Shop. Ron walked inside as a traditional-sounding bell alarmed the inhabitants that visitors had arrived. A younger woman sat at the counter reading a magazine. She was brunette with a pixie-style haircut. She was slightly overweight, but had a cute face with a pair of black-framed glasses. Jamie used to date women like this back in high school, but grew out of it. Her eyes turned toward them.
Good evening. How can we help you?
This guy here wants to have a psychic reading.
You've met her before?
The lady rolled her eyes.
We dated a few times, but we were not clicking. So you wish to see Madame Valeska?
Yes, ma'am.
You from the South?
No, I just have respect for women.
That'll be $50.
Danny dove into his pocket and pulled out a grant and gave it to her. She processed the bill and opened the cash register. Colleen pointed toward a room with beaded rose for doors.
Come with me.
Jamie walked with Colleen. Ron came behind, but Colleen stopped.
Nope. You know the drill. Only one consultation per person.
But that's my friend. I want to see.
No exceptions. Madame Beleska gave you instructions the last time. Do you want to displease fate?
Oh, hell no.
He waved to Jamie.
Have fun. I'll wait out here.
Jamie entered the beaded doorway. Instead of a lavish room of Roma-style artifacts and old-world charm, it was a long corridor. Colleen led Jamie to a white door at the end.
Go inside. Madame Beleska will meet you inside.
This isn't how it normally goes in the movies.
Madame Beleska is not your average psychic.
Colleen replied as she opened the door and led Jamie inside. To Jamie's surprise, it was a sunroom with various plants and flowers adorned all around. He turned back to Colleen, but was instead greeted by the closed door. He walked inside to marvel at how many plants and flowers surrounded him. It made him look down at the little plant that he had brought with him. It was a little succulent with fat little branches. Was this an offering to Madame Beleska, he thought? Further into the room, he saw a circle with a bunch of pillows on the floor. It looked to Jamie that this was for people to kneel on the floor or sit and meditate.
Beautiful, huh?
A woman said from behind him as he almost dropped his little succulent plant.
I'm sorry I scared you.
Yeah, very beautiful plants.
The young woman offered her hand.
I am Madame Heather Valeska.
This woman was not what Jamie was expecting. She was wearing a flowery blouse, wearing no bra, and showing off her supple shoulders and midriff. Her hair was brown with streaks of gray or white at the front, reminiscent of Rogue from Marvel Comics. It was put up in pins to keep out of her face. She wore skin-tight jeans that hugged every curve of her body with rips in the front and were acid-washed. It was as if she could sense his confusion.
Not what you expected, huh?
Not really.
Let me guess, you were expecting an older gypsy lady with a crystal ball, not a younger woman with a hippie fashion sense, eh?
Would you be mad if I told you yes?
No, I defy most expectations. I actually take pride in that. But make no mistake, I have the power to tell you what you need. Please, Jamie, have a seat with me.
Madame Beleska walked over to the cushions on the floor. Jamie followed and sat in front of her. She sat down and stared at him. He noticed that she would glance down at the succulent sporadically. This lasted almost 10 minutes before Jamie broke the silence.
So...
Let me see your plant.
My plant? Why, is this another form of payment?
She didn't even answer him.
Let me see your plant.
Jamie looked down at his succulent and gave it to her. She stared at the plant and then turned her attention to the other plants in the room. She closed her eyes.
What are you doing?
Jamie asked curiously, being unnerved by the behavior of the woman in front of him. She finally opened her eyes.
How long have you had this plant?
I bought it maybe a week ago, knowing I needed it to have for this session.
She sighed, almost as if in disappointment, and gave the succulent back to Jamie.
Here, come back in 2 months.
Hey, I paid good money for this reading.
I cannot give you a good reading today. Have Colleen give you a voucher at the desk for 2 months from now. You will not have to pay for this next reading.
Madame Beleska stood up.
Why?
If I told you, it would affect the reading. Come back in 2 months with the very same plant, and I will give you the answers you seek.
Madame Beleska sauntered away from Jamie and walked into another adjacent room and closed the door.
But now, a word from our sponsors.
Do you know where you're going after you die? If you don't know, consider coming to McGee's. Our easy, affordable, and welcoming plans for you and your post-mortem care are ready. Allow me, as the owner of McGee's Funeral Home, to show you some of the wonderful, local, and non-felon employees that we have working here. This is my son, Craig. He will aid you in your transition in complete style.
Yeah. Me and Pops and all the others will make sure. Fucking God! I got him. Fucking oh! Oh fuck! Oh! I landed on my keys. Oh!
Yeah, but how do you fall over standing still? My wonderful daughter Connie will introduce you to the many plans and options we have, and will help you make the right choice.
Here at McGee's, we care and want you to have the best experience possible. If there's anything I can personally do to make your experience more memorable, don't hesitate to ask.
Okay, that was a little bit thick, right? Reel it in a bit. Children could be listening to this one, sweetie, okay? And here are Harry Osgood and Jay Wentz, two of our amazing Earth removal engineers.
Earth what the what? I thought we were undertakers.
Dude, we're engineers. That's a step up from gravediggers.
Is that a fancy term for an indentured servant?
Maybe, but who cares? I'm still telling Mom I got promoted.
Will you two fuck up, shut the hell up? That wasn't in the script.
Oh, hello, I am Harry, and I will make sure that your digging and burying experience is a pleasurable one.
And I am Jay, and I will make sure that your dissections are just perfect.
That's dimensions, you halfwit!
Crick's handwriting is atrocious. No wonder I fucked up.
As you can see, we here at McGee's are the parlor for you. Come see us before and after you plots.
And cut.
Ugh, great. We can edit all that stupid crap out, right?
Sir, that was a live feed.
Catch all the crew of McGee's on Fun with Dirt, only on Dark Charm Radio Shows.
Jamie shook his head and left the room and walked back down the hall and to the beaded curtain. Colleen turned from her magazine to Jamie.
How was everything?
I was told to ask you for a 2-month voucher.
She nodded her head as if this had happened before.
Understandable. This happens a lot.
She wrote out some information on the voucher card and handed it back to Jamie.
Come back in 2 months. You won't have to pay.
You said this happens a lot. This happens often. Huh?
Yeah, but it's worth it. We get a good amount of money from these readings.
Jamie didn't bother to respond and left in the parlor, greeting the pouring rain back outside. He noticed that Ron was in his car waiting for him as he got into the car.
Well?
Nothing. He told me to come back in 2 months.
Huh?
He turned toward his friend and spoke as if he was deaf.
I said I had to go back in 2 months.
I'm not deaf, dude. Why do you have to come back? That didn't happen to me.
Did you have a plant for a while?
Yeah, I brought my cactus. It was in bloom.
Jamie pointed to the succulent plant.
And I only had this plant you gave me last week. Apparently she couldn't get a reading from me because of it.
Ron wrinkled his nose.
That sucks. So you gonna come back?
I don't know. I don't have to pay, but this is all a little too much for something that requires a stupid fucking plant. Let's just get out of here.
Ron pulled away and headed down Bel Air Road. Jamie's life moved on. He had no intention of going back to Madame Valeska's parlor, and viewed the loss of money as a wise investment into paying for stupid things in the future. Still, the fact that Valeska might have been right about Ron was dead on. In 2 months, Ron had invested his $300,000 and became a millionaire almost overnight. He moved out of Baltimore and to an office area in New York. The relationship between Ron and Jamie soured dramatically, as Jamie thought that the relationship between the two at least would have garnered him the opportunity to ride on Ron's coattails for a little bit. A phone call came that nipped that in the bud, as it seemed to compound a bunch of things that started to pile on Jamie. Jamie lent his father his car, and that evening Jamie's father died in a freak car accident in Millersville as a tree fell on top of it while the top was down. He couldn't react in time and died upon impact. Jamie's car was totaled, and he had lapsed in his insurance. While Ron helped with the funeral arrangements, he felt that Jamie was slowly becoming needy and no longer able to rely on himself. Instead of bringing Jamie on to assist his company, he stopped returning his phone calls. In his downward spiral, Jamie began drinking heavily and screwed up at the factory where he worked. He was fired after his boss couldn't handle his mistakes any further. In the third month, Jamie's life was a shambling mess. And in the milder weather one day, he walked from his local liquor store with a fresh bottle of Southern Comfort back to his apartment. He didn't even bother keeping the bottle in a brown bag to conceal what he was drinking. He didn't care anymore. If the cops were to stop him, he would view that as a blessing. But he wasn't prepared for what would happen next. Sitting in front of the apartment stoop was Madame Valeska. She was wearing a light coat and her hair was down. As she saw Jamie coming, she stood up. Jamie's confusion was etched upon his face.
What are you doing here?
Well, hello to you too, Jamie.
I don't care. What the fuck are you doing here? How did you find me?
I'm a psychic, remember?
You see this? Did you see what my life had become? Why didn't you warn me?
I was under the impression that you were going to come back to me a month ago. I'm guessing that the poor succulent plant is dead, yes?
Ironically, no. It's up in my apartment.
Can I see?
She said, putting her hand on his arm. He pulled away from her.
Get the fuck away from me, you crazy bitch!
Do you want your fortune told? You did pay your money, and I am not one to get money for free.
Go ahead.
Then I need to come up to your apartment.
He stormed up to the door of his apartment complex.
You want to see my fucking plant? Then come on.
Jamie stomped up the wooden steps, being followed by Madame Valeska. He put his key into the doorknob and opened it. Alcohol bottles and cans littered the small apartment. Jamie stumbled across some of the bottles on the floor. While a look of disdain could have been on Madame Valeska's face, all that was on display was pity. She could see by the window the small succulent that Jamie brought into the parlor. She walked over to it, bypassing any decorum for Jamie, and lifted it up.
It's okay, little one. I am here.
What? I know you like plants and all, but you make it out like you actually talk to them.
In fact, I do, but in a cursory sense. I could never eat another salad if I could hear them directly. They are the ones that reveal to me the future. This particular one is quite interesting. While in the parlor, it conveyed to me the person you were.
So my fate was determined by a fucking plant. Madame Valeska, I find all this hard to believe.
Please, call me Heather, and that's why you're in this rut.
No, I'm in this rut because of you!
She huffed and leaned against the wall.
No, remember, I never did your reading. This happened all on your own. You blame everyone in this world for your problems but yourself, and it's high time that you figured that out.
If I disgust you so much, then why don't you just leave?
Because now that I am here, I can finally give you what you paid for. Like I said outside, I hate not giving people what they pay for. It's a nasty stereotype among my people.
She closed her eyes and listened to the plant. She opened her eyes.
The next year is going to be hard for you, Jamie, but you will rise to the occasion. After you bottom out, which you will do sooner rather than later, you will finally have had enough and enter rehab and kick the booze. Then a man will make you feel the happiest you've ever been.
Jamie scrunched his face.
Man, I'm not gay.
Just because he will make you happy doesn't mean it's for a sexual reason. And lastly, by Christmas of next year, you will have everything you will ever need.
You're serious.
What do you think?
She said as she put the little succulent back onto the table by the sunlight. She walked to the door of Jamie's apartment and gave him a warm smile.
Take care of yourself, Jamie.
She opened the door and left, leaving Jamie standing in his living room with a bottle of Southern Comfort dangling from his fingertips. He shrugged it off, sat down on his dirty couch, turned on the television, and drank his problems away.
Knowing the more about gel coat, when the full
trend will... Don't you call in the...
2 weeks of the same old thing. Jamie's neighbors downstairs heard a loud thud coming from his apartment. Worried that something might have happened, his landlady came upstairs as quickly as she could to find that Jamie had passed out after trying to go to the bathroom, had fallen onto the porcelain bowl, breaking it, and cutting him so deeply that he was bleeding everywhere. She called 911 and an ambulance came swiftly. Jamie had sliced himself good, but the amount of alcohol in his system was much worse. After the doctors were able to stop his bleeding, they had to pump his stomach for the alcohol. His mother, his sister, and even Ron showed up to his hospital bed. It was then that he knew that just as Madame Valeska had predicted, he had hit rock bottom. This was an intervention. Jamie went into inpatient rehab for his drinking, entirely paid for by Ron, and motivated by the family to continue to make progress. It was mid-November when he was finally converted to outpatient treatment. He was doing well, and the urge to quit drinking, while it hadn't gone away, had greatly diminished as he finally found something in his life that he was passionate about doing, botany. Jamie went back to school, thanks to help from Ron, and he was on his way to get his science degree. Here it was, the start of winter semester, and everything Madame Valeska had said was dead on. But he had not yet met the man that she said would make him happy, and it was almost Christmas of the next year. Could she be wrong about this, he thought?
Open your presents.
Christmas Eve was here, and Jamie had made his way to his mother's house for the holiday. As he pulled up to her house, he noticed that there was another car there besides that of his family. He exited his car carefully, as the driveway was a little slippery due to the ice patches nearby. He grabbed the gift-wrapped presents out of the back seat of his car and walked to the door. He rang the bell because he didn't have the hands to just open the door. A minute later, the door opened as his mother helped him with the presents and walked him inside. His family was there, and It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart was playing on the television. This was the second Christmas without his father, but you would never know it from the way she smiled at Jamie. As he was sitting down to enjoy the company of his family, his cell phone began to ring.
Hello?
Jamie answered, not knowing the number that was on the caller ID.
Mr. Reigns? I'm sorry to call you so late and on the holiday, but my name is Gerald Davenport. I'm the head of studies at University of Maryland.
Pleasure, sir. What can I do for you?
Well, we've been looking through your test scores and recent lab assessments, and we would like you to participate in our internship for our botany program here at College Park.
Yes, sir. I'd love to. Damn it, if she wasn't right again.
You've been listening to episode 307, Unlikely Psychic, with inspiration by Samantha Higgins. In the cast you heard, Dan MacMcCloskey as the gatekeeper, Danny Atwell as Jamie Reigns, Christopher Hengel as Ron Weber, Rachel Crosby as Colleen, Madam Heather Valeska played by Amanda Hunter, and Gerald Davenport played by Ferg Berfel. Special effects by Zapsplat.com. Copyright 2022, Jar Char Media, all rights reserved.